morning, and I greet you in the name of Jesus. It's because of him that we can be here. It's because of him that we have something to talk about. We have a message this morning because of Jesus, and I'm very thankful for that, and thankful that we can learn together this morning. I'm challenged by the lesson, the Sunday school lesson, and my prayer has been, and I pray will always be, that it is God's message that comes forth and not my own. We as humans can tend to wrestle with that, to be honest, especially as we have a subject and we have our opinions on things, our thoughts on things. We still have to come back to the fact of what does God's word say. And also with the topic that I feel like God wants me to continue on this morning is about angels. So what about angels? Part two. As you look at the subject of angels, I always thought, well, it's just a few scattered verses here and there. And yes, it talks about angels, but it talks a lot about angels. And then I wrestle some with the thought of, sometimes it can be kind of loose-ended when it talks about angels, like definites and how does it all fit together and what's an angel and what's not. And I want to have been praying and continue praying that it would be God's message this morning. And if there's any errors in anything, may we not remember that. May we only hold on to the truth. And so I leave you with that and move forward with what God has for us in the sermon this morning. So I want to start out with a story, and it's a true story. It has come through my mother-in-law, and I don't know all the details behind it, and I will not read it because it could get lengthy this morning. So I'm just going to try to abbreviate it. It is about angels. And so I felt like I wanted to start it that way. But it's years ago. It's back in, my understanding is in the 1800s, later 1800s. There's a family. They lived in Ohio. And they were a Christian family. And they had six children, and my understanding was that there was meetings of some sort going on in the local area there, and the parents and the one child decided to go to the meeting, whatever that meeting was, and was letting the rest of the five children stay at home. The five children struggled with that. They talked with the parents about it, did not want to do it. They said they're scared. They didn't want to stay there at home, and finally, the mother said, listen, God is with you and his angels are with you and they will watch over you and take care of you. That seemed to bring calmness to the children's minds, and they agreed to stay at home. As the parents and the one child left, the rest of the children went about their activities, and soon thereafter decide they're going to just gather together themselves and have a little family worship together themselves. And they found this Bible story book, and they were looking through the Bible story books, and they saw some pictures of angels, and the one child said, well, I would really love to see an angel. And some of the other children said, you know what, we would really love to see an angel also. Soon thereafter, they heard some movement on the porch. And they went, soon after the parents left, they pulled all the blinds down. So everything was closed up, showing that they were fearful. They heard a noise on the porch. They went and opened the blinds and looked out to only see an angel standing there outside. As the angel recognized that the children were looking, the angel came into the room there with them and spent some time with them throughout the evening. He interacted with the children. The children recognized the glorious form. The one child came over to the rocker and said, "Hey, have a seat and sit here with us." The angel said, "I can't stay here long, but I'll be here with you a little bit." They interacted back and forth, and throughout the evening, I don't know the exact timeline, but it brought calmness, it brought rest to the children's hearts and minds. Soon thereafter, he said, "I do need to be going again," and he proceeded to leave the home and left, and the children stayed, and soon thereafter, the parents and the one child, the one sibling, came home again. They proceeded to tell the parents about it. The parents struggled to believe it, but seeing the confidence, seeing the reassurance, seeing the different descriptions that the children gave, parents soon believed that, yes, an angel had come to visit them. This morning, even though we probably have not seen an angel in our own lives, is it very possible that we have seen angels in our lives? And I'll get to that shortly. I thought I had this set up perfectly so it'll come right on. I thought I locked the screen, but for some reason it's not happening. The screen on my computer is just black. I had unlocked it, but maybe once this comes on, it will reawaken it out of its slumber. So we as humans try to do the best we can, and we still make mistakes. I'm going to just briefly, to keep things moving, go over some of what I had brought in the previous message. Some of the questions I had asked in the previous message was, why do we even look into these beings? Like, they're just a spirit realm out there. Why worry about that? God monitors that. Thank you, Glenn, if you have any way to... I'm sorry, let me step out of your way. I have to turn that on the side there. Why do we look into this? Or I may ask you the question, what do you think about when you think about angels? Do you think much about angels, or do you think it's necessary to even study angels? And I pondered that for a bit, and I feel like it is important. Even though I have never really done much in my own life of studying of angels until more recently, I feel like there is an important thing aspect to this. Maybe you say, well, I don't think much about them. Maybe if you do think about them, you say, well, is this some kind of mystic being out there? There's not much value to me spending much time on it. Or I could say, maybe it would be good to think more about them, to appreciate the blessings that God has for us and His provisions for us. Or maybe it would be better to understand that God loves us and wants a relationship with us. I'll catch you up here. So maybe you don't think. Maybe you think there's some kind of mystic being. Maybe it would be good to think more about them, to appreciate the blessings that God has for us and His provisions for us. Maybe to better understand that God loves us and wants a relationship with us and has sources for us to draw from. As I studied angels and just hearing different stories about angels, they have an important part in our Christian walk. They are here for a reason. It wasn't some abstract thing that God said, okay, I'm going to create angels so there's some kind of fluttery, beautiful things flying around in my heaven. He said they are here for a reason and a purpose. And Scripture talks about that. Psalms 34:7 says, "For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him." Why does he add that next phrase there, "taste and see that the Lord is good"? It's because as we experience what God has for us, as He surrounds us and we see His protection, maybe because of the guarding angels in our lives or because of a message we have received directly from an angel, we say, wow, God, You are good. And to be able to have a somewhat more of a, I hope, a little bit more of a better understanding, I believe it can be good for us. Hebrews 1:14, and this verse really hit home to me as I've been studying. And therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. And I believe that verse there wraps it up in a nutshell, the work of angels. It is so that they will be here to care for us as believers so that that God knows we're going to inherit it as he works with us through the spirit realm and his angels that he has for us. This quote comes from a song, I believe it's Blessed Assurance of Fanny Crosby. Angels descending from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Another thought of what angels do for us. They bring their echoes of mercy and whispers of love. God has them there for a reason and a purpose. In the last message, we basically are through looking at the different references to angels in Scripture. The word of angels means messenger, with their job doing many other activities. They are a messenger, but underlying all their other activities would be because they have a message for us of some sort or another. Whether you're just there hosting a stranger, or whether you meet a stranger on the road and you sense something is different about this person, to come to realize that God has had that person there for a reason. Or whether you get held up in traffic, it's God using his angels for our good and to bring us to where he wants us to be. But it's all about God's message to us. We also saw how they are created beings, possibly even before the creation of the world. If you look at Job 38:7, it talks about the morning star and the sons of God watching and rejoicing as he started creating the world. So we'll give that's one of the loose-ended ones, but it would seem like they were possibly created before the actual world was. Also keep in mind that angels are not to be worshipped. And that comes clear throughout Scripture, that they are a created being, and they are not to be worshipped. As glorious as they are, and as amazing as they are, and as you look at Scripture and how you wonder, what did they actually look like, some of them? Some with eyes all over them, and just some wings all over them. But they are glorious, but they're not to be worshipped. But we need to be thankful for them, respect them, and listen to the message. In Psalms 104, they refer to as flaming fire. So it would seem like, as we learned there the other Sunday, that they are a bright and glorious. I'm not sure if all of them are that way, but especially the seraphims would be flaming light. In Psalms 89, they're referred to as a heavenly host, heavenly armies, the angelic powers from God. We also saw there the other Sunday that there's at least two names for at least two groups of angels. I believe there is more, but the cherubims and the seraphims were two names for two different groups there of angels. And the cherubims were known more as the protectors. The seraphims were as a fiery ones with booming voices. In Isaiah, if we have time, look at that again, how their booming voices shook the posts of the temple because of their crying out the holiness of God. And I end up with this again, the challenge for last message and also even for this message again. May we accept the challenge to allow God's holiness to penetrate our lives so we can reverence him, so it can humble us and send us out in service for him. And I hope throughout however long these messages may be that we see God's holiness and his bounties for us and his provisions for us, and it will just bring us into reverence, humility, and saying, God, as Isaiah said, here am I, send me. When Isaiah had that message, he realized his undoneness, but as he received that purging and that cleansing, he said, I just want to go out for you, God. I really do. That brings us up to today, the substance or the essence of angels. The substance is what they're made like, or who are their essence, who are they? So I'm trying to look more at that here of who they are. And as I just pondered that first phrase of the substance or the essence of angels, I believe and I hope that it can encourage us. It can be a truth that we can hold on to. And I came across this verse in Genesis 32:1, and it's just a short little verse. But if we put our names in there, I wonder what comes to your mind. And Dan went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Or Dakota went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Put your name in there. John went on his way, and the angels of God met him. What does that do for your heart? As I read that, I'm like, this is what they're called to do. As we're on our way, are we recognizing, are we okay with, do we realize that they're called to this, to meet us as we're on our way? It is happening today. And it stopped me in my tracks and I said, I wonder how many opportunities I might have missed because I was on my own personal way, my own personal agenda. And thinking it was just another irritating person messing up my day. Thinking it was just a hobo on the street that's just begging for money because they want to spend it on drugs. Thinking that my day is all going backwards and it's just who I am and it's just how my days always go. Not realizing that it's the angels of God meeting me as I'm on my way because they have a message for me. And it stopped me. I'm like, can we stop and realize that God is so sovereign and is so perfect and he has such an awesome plan for us that he's sending angels to us as we're on our way and we're not in tune to recognize that, you know what, maybe this could be. Am I being hospitable today to this person or that person? Because it might be entertaining a stranger, an angel unawares. Jacob went on his way and the angel of God met him. That stopped me for a while because I feel like that is very critical as we look into the rest of this message. Invisible, normally. Their essence, their substance, normally they're invisible. There is a spirit realm out there where they're at. And we, in our physical eyes, cannot always see them. But can we ask God, say, can we be aware, in tune with you, recognizing where your messengers are and listening and having ears and hearts open? Can the eyes of our heart be open, God, to these times where you are trying to send a message and we're so wrapped up in ourselves that we're not hearing it, we're not recognizing it? Invisibly, normally. Hebrews 1:14, I read this one earlier in NLT, but here it is in the KJV again. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? They are a spirit being. It says that. But they do come to us at times in other forms. Often, as I think about this, often they are coming because they want to test us. They want to get our attention. They want to guide us, or maybe simply to stop us where we're at. I brought this verse up earlier, but here it is again. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And I often read that verse and I thought, okay, that's talking about the wives at home. They need to be willing to, you know, have a plate of food for them and, you know, entertain if somebody knocks on their door. Hold it. We as men probably cross paths of more strangers in our day than our wives do. And how many times have I not been hospitable to a stranger? And that's what stopped me in my tracks, realizing how many messages maybe have I missed from God because I was not willing to be hospitable to a stranger. that I come across in my work. I come across a lot because I'm driving a lot, and I come to many different places of delivery and pickup and so on and so forth. And I, you know, I can get irritated at, I won't go there, but how often do I not entertain or hospitable to entertain a stranger? We have seen the angels have come in many human forms. We see Balaam. He didn't see it right away, but there was an angel there. Finally, God opened up his eyes so he could see. He was madder than a 2 dozen hornets that were being stirred out of their nest, out of their hive. And he was beaten on that donkey. And finally, the donkey had to start talking to him, and God allowed it. So to get angels his attention, and God opened his eyes, realizing there was an angel that was trying to send him a message, and he wasn't hearing it. Elisha prayed for the servant's eyes. His servant was about ready to lose his top because he saw all the Syrian army surrounding him. And he's like, this is defeated. This is useless. This is no good. We're done. We're gone. We're goners. Elijah just calmly said, hold it. Because Elijah was in tune with God. And he knew that there was angels all around. And he said, God opened his eyes of his heart so he could see. And his eyes of that servant's hearts were open. And he saw the amazing chariots and the angels that were surrounding them. And the truth of what Elisha said, that there is more with us than that is with them. Maybe, does that say that there? That verse is in Scripture. And the servant realized the truth because he saw the heavenly realms, the angels, and he could rest and say, God has this. And so they can be seen in human form. In Genesis 18, when Lot was gotten the message that Sodom was going to be destroyed, how did the angels show up? As men. Somewhere throughout that transition there, or somewhere throughout that course of that story, Lot realized that what was going on, that these were angels. That story has a lot of sadness to it, but also has a lot of truth that angels can come in human form and come and let us know who they are. Abraham and Sarah, Samson's parents, and stories can go on where angels have appeared to mankind in human form. But when they do appear, are we aware, living Christ-like, seizing the opportunities that God gives us? And I guess that was a challenge that just kept hitting me over and over. Am I in tune with the Holy Spirit to recognize the messages that God is trying to send to my heart, to my life, instead of wanting to react to thinking that, yeah, whatever negative ways I want to think, stop and say, you know what, God, what are you trying to say? God, you have this. We'll get through this. Wow, God, you're awesome. I'm just trying to think of various ways that responses we can give to that. Next one is that there are immortal, the wings of angels. This is another quote here. The wings of angels are often found on the backs of the least likely people. And that phrase stood out to me, that quote, because of just what we were saying, how they can appear. Normally they're invisible, but when they do appear, sometimes, and it seems like oftentimes, they can appear on the backs of people we just don't think would be. Whoa, I missed that opportunity. Oh, was God trying to say something to me? I never even thought about it from that type of a person. But it happens. Immortal beings. Angels are immortal beings. That refers to the fact that they don't die. I was trying to think of if there was any place in Scripture, but they are immortal beings. They don't die. There's the same amount of angels today as there was when God created them. And this said, and one reason I believe that is that in the NLT it says Luke 20:36b, and they will never die again. In the respect, they will be like angels. Talking about people when they get to heaven, and we'll look at a couple of verses earlier here shortly in the next section. But it's saying that when they get to heaven, they're going to be like angels. They're not going to die. They're going to be forever and ever. So you can look at that a couple ways, that there is life after death, after we die physically. But then we're going to be, those of us that believe and go to heaven will be like angels. They never die. We do realize that angels have, can I use the word split ways? Or because of Satan's fall, there was a group of angels, a big group of angels. I was reading various numbers, but anyway, I don't think we can totally put numbers on the angels. But there was a big group of angels that fell with him and went with him. So we have the falling angels, but we also have the heavenly angels. But the numbers do not change. They are immortal beings. But as I thought about that, I thought about we can be encouraged with that, thinking that these angels have been around since God created them. They know, they have learned with, as God worked things out throughout time since beginning to now, they have seen how people work. They know how people work. We're going to look at that shortly, how that they are powerful. But the thing that I walked away with as I studied this was that God is about life, and his resources will always be available. They will not diminish. And I'm like, wow, God, you created these beings that they don't die. So the resources that was back at the beginning of time are still available for us today in 2026. Even though the sin has increased and men have gotten worse and worse, the same amount of resources is there for us today. Hallelujah. Thank God that we don't have to worry about, well, I hope there's enough angels are still alive yet to help me today. No, the same amount is still available, and we're going to see those shortly. Another thing is that they are not given in marriage. They don't reproduce. They're just who they are, created beings. They are not given in marriage. They are basically there for one purpose, and that is to give God glory. And that is through serving him and worshiping him. That God said that they are here to bring me glory. And they're going to do that through serving what I ask them to do, but also by just worshiping me. God said they're going to be bringing me glory. They're not sidetracked. They're not distracted. They're not involved in a lot of other things. They are there for the purpose of serving God, to bring him glory. And we see that there in Luke 20, 34 and 35. I'm jumping in there, and Jesus is saying this before, earlier in the verse, marriage is for people here on earth, but in the age to come, those worthy of being raised from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And then it goes into that verse earlier where the angels do not die, because then he says that they're going to be like angels. They won't die. So there again, angels are not given in marriage. And so we who also go there someday, which is another subject, will not be thinking about marriage, which I'm not sure what I think about that, but at least I'll know my wife for who she is, I guess. Anyway, that's a whole nother big old subject. I'm not going there today. Anyways, next one, intrigued by salvation. Angels are intrigued by salvation. And this was an interesting thing to think about. Because angels are intrigued. Something happens to angels through salvation and repentance. I often looked at this verse to see if it comes up. Well, anyways, first of all, there's a full-blown celebration happens over one soul. That verse says one soul that is born again. Over one sinner that repents. There is a full-blown celebration that happens in heaven. I mean, angels are excited. There it is. NIV says, Luke 15:10, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. I often looked at that verse and said, oh, okay, that's when they're born again. There's a great celebration. I got to thinking like, no, when we repent of a sin, there must be celebration too. I believe it happens both. I often wonder, like, why are we so hesitant or so scared of repentance? And what is interesting to think about how the celebration of the angels over a sinner who is born again or repents of their sin is that it's coming from beings that don't know anything about redemption. Angels have not experienced redemption. They always were. Even the fallen angels cannot come back to being a heavenly angel again. They don't know what redemption is like. But yet they're up there just excited, just celebrating, rejoicing. I mean, I wonder what that sounds like on streets of gold with voices that are just echoing off of them. I wonder what that's like when the walls of jasper is reverberating the joys of the angel as a sinner finds Jesus or repents of their sin. Why are we so hesitant about salvation or about repentance? What is a unnerving thing about that? Or why is it do we make it such a hard thing when heaven throws a celebration? Hallelujah, another one has found me again. Hallelujah, they recognize that where they were coming short to what I want them to do. Hallelujah, I just would love to know what that sounds like. Let's have more repentance so we can have more celebration going on in the heavenlies. And you know what? While that's going on, let's start celebrating here. Why not? If they can celebrate in heaven when a sinner repents, when something is confessed and brought out in the light, then let's celebrate with them. Got the heavenlies rejoicing. We got the believers rejoicing here. That has to say something to the evil realm. Invincible, powerful. Tell us one thing that is too big for our God and His powerful angels. Tell me one thing. I don't care if it's something small you think, but you're saying, you know what, that's too much for my God and His angels. Tell me one thing. I want to know. Anybody? Nobody? Are you all honestly believing that whatever you're facing in life, your God and His angels can handle it? Gonna be okay with that? All right, we'll roll on then. And Van Dyke says, self is the only prison that can ever bind the soul. Love is the only angel that can bid the gates unroll. It's only self, maybe pride, failure, shame, that will keep you in that bondage. Whatever you might think is too hard. Because once you get rid of self and you get laid, deal with the shame, you'll realize how big and powerful and mighty your God and His angels are. This verse is a familiar verse, but think about this. Think of the power. We're all here today, living and breathing, because there have been angels encamped around us. And many times we probably don't even realize where we could be right now if there wasn't angels around us. Brothers and sisters, today, we would all be gone, probably some way or another, if God would not have His angels around us. I just popped in my mind your story when you were young with that bailer. I had to think many times, me driving, I fight sleep off and on, and how many times I could have just, my eyes could have stayed shut, and it'd be all over. Maybe you're working under the vehicle and you're trusting that lift to hold you up, hold that car up. And if God's angels weren't around, you know, what could have happened? Many things. In your cooking, in your cleaning, in your working in the gardens, in your travels. Because the angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear Him. This is two verses I came across in Revelation. This is future times. But it just shows the power of an angel, of the angels. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And it goes on in some more verses saying how the angels took charge, and they were more powerful than the evil forces around us. Brothers and sisters, I beg you this morning, I know that Satan can make himself look powerful. I know he can feel strong. I know he can feel overwhelming. But we have the resources, because we are sons and daughters of God. The angels are camped around us to help us, to care for us, who are going to inherit eternal life. How powerful is that? How awesome is that? God has given what we need to be able to make it to eternity. We can experience God's angelic power when we are connected with Father God, when we are listening to His voice and not the voice of the enemy. Those angels that can take care of the evil forces there in Revelations are today able to take care of the evil forces. If you don't believe that, read Daniel 10. We read that at the beginning of the last message. And it shows how Daniel kept interceding and interceding and interceding for 20 days, I believe it was. And finally, the angel came down and met him and saying, I couldn't come right away because I was fighting off the evil forces. And they won because God's angels are more powerful than whatever you're facing today. I want to read Isaiah 6, 1 through 4, thinking about the power of the infants, how they're invincible, they're powerful. Just turn to Isaiah 6, and we might read that together. I believe we have enough time here just to read that. Isaiah 6, 1 through 4. Let's stand and read these verses. Isaiah 6, 1 through 4. Let's begin. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. You can be seated. Our heavenly host that God has available for us is powerful. So powerful, but as they talked, this temple post shook. So if they're powerful like that, and we see how they're powerful in Revelations, and we have many other verses we could go to show that our God and His resources are most powerful, it's good that you didn't say anything that is too powerful for God, because there's not. Now tell me again, after I was done pondering all that, I was like, I got to say that again. Tell me again, what's too big for God? Nothing, nothing. Innumerable amounts of angels. Hebrews 12, 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I have been throughout this message saying the awesomeness of God and His resources for us. I have said that we can't totally put numbers on amounts of angels. You can read that there's ten thousands angels, and plus thousands of angels. They are innumerable. I'm just going to take it at that. It says it. They're innumerable. Think about that, and think about the most difficult thing you're walking through right now, and just process that. Think about what they're here for. Think about the innumerable number. Think about the hardest thing you're facing right now. Let that hit your heart. What an awesome blessing. What a gift. What a heavenly host that is there for us as we travel this journey here on earth. We looked at the substance, the essence of angels, power. They're invisible but yet can appear. We talked about how they're a messenger. They're here for a purpose. They're here to care for us, for those who are going to inherit eternal life. And we just see now that there are an innumerable amount of them. They don't die. They're here since the beginning of time. They learn. They can make choices because we have the fallen realm, so they can make choices. You know what this says to me? We have a Father that has unlimited resources for His children, that He is a God of abundance, that He wants His children to have faith, to call out for these blessings, knowing that He can supply every need. I just want to spend just a couple minutes quietly in prayer. For wherever you're at, I don't know what you're facing. I just feel like maybe we should spend a couple minutes in prayer, just allowing God to increase our faith, that He has what we need, that even though we can't totally wrap our minds around these angelic beings, they are here for a purpose, and they're here for whatever you're going through. So let's just pray for a couple minutes, and I'd like to read the Revelations together. Quietly pray your own heart. All right, let's again just stand and read these verses together out of Romans 5. I know these verses here again are, I believe, futuristic, but yet I believe at the same time that there is glory and praise and worship that is happening in heaven right now. So even though these many specific verses are futuristic, I believe that there is worship and glory, and yeah, these verses talk about, and it just, I guess, in closing here. Revelations 5, verse 9. And they sung, let's read it together. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, sang with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever. Amen. You be seated.